Hi, my name is Paige. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive overeater and a bulimic.
Hi, Paige.
I'm going to qualify. I'm going to try and keep my qualification to 5 minutes or less, but I've been known to ramble on a bit with that, so please help me stay on track. 5 minutes. I have early memories of compulsive eating. Back to stealing items that were meant to motivate me in potty training. That's just what my family does. We'll just point it out there. I am in good company in my family when it comes to compulsive eating behaviors. It has been pointed out to me by professionals that I have suffered more than the average amount of trauma in my life. And I dealt with a lot of that through eating. That's just how I coped. One of my earlier memories is, I believe it was my fifth birthday. Yes, my fifth birthday, with my sister who was 7 years older than me. We were on a road trip. My father was in the Navy and we had driven down to where the boat was pulling in, and we were in submarines, and the whole wardroom had caravaned down the East Coast from New England all the way down to Florida. And we were in our trailer, in our little RV trailer, and we ate, between the two of us, mind you, a 5-year-old and a 12-year-old, a family size bag of something with a side item to go with it, and downed it like that. And that's just what we did. That wasn't uncommon. I ate things by the bag, box, and sleeve, and carton. There's some gentlemen in my that used to live in my freezer that were my best friends. I ate because I was happy. I ate because I was sad. I ate for social reasons. I ate because I was bored, angry, frustrated, you name it. I didn't want to feel it, and so I ate. When I was 12, my sister, who was 19 at the time, was killed in a car accident. And within a year, we moved for my dad's job, and I was just I was 12. Like, what 12-year-old can deal with anything, really? And I didn't know how to deal with it, so we ate. We ate as a family. And I would come home from school, and I would make something that should have been baked, but it would get eaten, either in the unbaked or the baked version of it, but basically all of it in very short order. And I would throw up because my stomach was so full. And I actually have this digestive issue where I can pretty much throw up on command. My grandfather called it chewing cud. All of us can do it. It's like cows, right? My grandfather's from Kentucky. Grew up on a farm. He called it chewing cud. My whole family can do it. And I used it. I used it when I ate too much to get rid of it so I could eat more. Never recognized that as bulimia until I came into the rooms. And so that's my eating behaviors. I was also very selfish. It was all about me. It was all about my food. It was, and I was manipulative, and bottom line was all about me. In March of 2000, I had been battling weight up and down. I was working full time, married, and I was doing Taekwondo, which is another whole story. But I had asked one of my instructors, what do I need to do to get ready for the next belt test? And he said, do you want me to be honest? And I said, yes. He said, no, really, do you want me to be honest? And I said, yes. He said, you need to lose weight. And I said, well, tell me something I don't know already. And he said, have you ever heard of Overeaters Anonymous? And to this day, I don't know if he is a member. He never shared that with me. What he shared with me was the story of his mother, who had been a member for many, many years and raised her family in recovery, and inspired me. And so the next week, first Wednesday in March of 2000, I showed up at a meeting, at a newcomers meeting, and I was home at that point. That people did the same crazy stuff I did, and and I did find a home. And for a year and a half, I had pretty good abstinence. I was like Miss OA, right? You know, I started becoming the group's intergroup rep for like a couple meetings. And and I was a sponsor, and I had sponsees, and I had sponsors, and I was going to meetings and doing service, and all that was great. And then my brother and his wife were killed in a car accident. And all I could do was show up to meetings. That's it. I mean, I couldn't do calls anymore. I wasn't writing. I just put my butt in the chair. And not really well either, but I did. And I didn't lose my abstinence right away, but that was in August of 2001. But by Halloween, I was toast. And it was, I mean, to the point where I remember cooking something, a food that I can eat abstinently now, that I was making it, and then I started tasting it. And it, mind you, the pot's still on the stove, right? And I'm putting my hands in the pot and pulling it out and shoveling it in my mouth because I couldn't get it in fast enough. The pain was so bad. I thank God that I had food in my life, because being a compulsive overeater, I was able to use that to put the feelings down just enough so that I didn't kill myself. That's how depressed I was through my adolescence over my sister's death. And that, so I'm grateful because I didn't kill myself and I'm here today. I don't need food like that anymore. I have tools that I can use. I am not a 12-year-old girl trying to struggle with those kinds of emotions right now. I am a full-grown adult, and I have lots of relationships. I have a husband, and we've been married 16 years. I have three boys, two of which have been diagnosed with special needs. One is likely on his way. He'll be four next month. I have a job where I'm the breadwinner. My husband doesn't work anymore. And so I am a leader in a finance and accounting organization in a publicly traded company. And I have responsibilities there. I work long hours, and I work very hard. I have, you know, colleagues, I have employees, I have friends, I have program friends, and I have social groups that I belong to and have to interact with people in an adult grown-up way, even when they don't. I have people from my life that, so I recently had a high school reunion. It's the first one I went to. Mind you, I went to high school up in Connecticut, so it's a bit of a trip. I don't get to go to high school reunions every 5 years. And I went up there and I reconnected with people that I hadn't seen in 20 years. And that's been an eye-opener on my change in relationships. One thing I've also learned about myself in this is the defects that have played into my relationships, and also the character assets that have played into my relationships. I'm going to backtrack a little bit because I didn't quite finish my background. I told you about my relapse. What I didn't tell you is that in September of 2004, I was struggling to pull out of that relapse that started in 2001. And I went and said to my sponsor at the time, I'm like, you know, I need to try something different. I think I need to measure my food or something. Because at that time I considered abstinence what I could fit on a plate. I'm a really good piler, really good. It's amazing what you can fit on a plate. And she said, have you thought about how? And I'm like, oh, no. I went to one of those meetings. Those people are nuts. And they make you stand up in front of the room and read all these things, and they're two-hour meetings, and no, I can't do that. And then I went to my home meeting, which was the Saturday morning Springfield Early Birds, and somebody that I recognized from the rooms was speaking, and she said, this is what I do. And she did what I'm doing, pulling out of a purse. She throws a scale on the table, the cups, and she says, I weigh and measure my food. This is my abstinence kit. I work the HOW program. I'm like, oh, I didn't need to hear that today. And then I said to my sponsor, I really need help finding a sponsor. And she's like, go to the Tuesday literature meeting in Tyson's. She said, they've got great recovery there. Go there. I swear, I think I've been there twice in my life. And I went that night, and I was bound and determined to find a new sponsor. And so I went up to every single person that said they were a sponsor, and I said, will you be my sponsor? And I got no, 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 no. And then finally, somebody I recognized from the rooms, I hadn't seen her in a while, and I said, hey. And she said, hi, Paige, how are you? And I said, oh, I really need a sponsor. Will you be my sponsor? And she says, I would love to be your sponsor, Paige. I work the HOW program. I'm like, oh! And I realized that higher power was speaking to me. I sometimes need to be beat over the head to get the message. That was September 2004, and I started the HOW program 10 years ago. And saved three string bean slips, as we call them. I have been abstinent in the HOW program ever since. And my life has changed so much in that time. I work a HOW program, so I call my sponsor, I commit my food, I do a reading and a writing daily, I make phone calls, I take lots of phone calls. I tend to get the new moms calling me, or the moms of special needs kids, or and it's great because we have this great tight-knit community that we can be abstinent through the roller coaster of life together. That's what I do. I pray. I used to consider exercise the E word, and it was evil, and I would only run when chased. That was my theory. It was a survival technique only. I say that I have now run a marathon. I have run a half marathon, several 5Ks, and I'm training for my first triathlon next Saturday. And I'm loving it, and it is wonderful for my program, it's wonderful for my abstinence, it's one of the tools in my toolkit of action plan that allows me to get out those feelings in a productive way. Instead of yelling at my children, I can pound it out on the pavement. So let me talk about the defects that have factored into my relationships earlier in my life. And still do, and still need to be worked on a regular basis. One of them is the need to be loved. I want affirmation on a regular basis. I want to be told how fabulous I am, and that I am loved, and that I spoke really well today, and all of these things. That I have that need. It's something I work on a regular basis. But that has been plagued, and it's caused me to do people-pleasing activities with other people. And one of those was gossip. It's something that I have generally put down these days, but it's one of those things where I that hole of needing to be loved and accepted and appreciated was filled with gossip if I had the juicy news of the day, no matter who it hurt. And it leads me to think about a particular relationship and highlight then and now. So I mentioned earlier that I recently went to my reunion, and there was a lady in high school who was super morbidly obese. I hesitate to guess a weight, but it could have been 300-400 or so pounds. I mean, just, it was really, life was really hard for her. And I can't say that I was a horrible, I don't remember being a bully to her, like outright, where I didn't, you know, go up to her and make fun of her and like take her stuff and do some of the worst things that some people had done. But I certainly didn't help her. I certainly didn't defend her. I didn't ask her if she needed any help. I didn't try to befriend her. And I have thought about her a lot. Thought about her a lot over the past few years. And especially leading up to the reunion, I was like, I wonder how she is. I would really like to know how she is. And lo and behold, she was at the reunion. And I was able to talk to her, and we're now friends on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You know? And this woman is one of the most incredible women I have ever met. And she has lost that weight, and she is incredibly strong. And she, our relationship now is about supporting each other. And I tell her how incredible she is, and she tells me how incredible I am, and it's this wonderful positive relationship on Facebook. that kind of highlights the difference. So now the tools that I try to employ, or character assets rather, that I try to employ in my relationships, one is acceptance. And I'm going to highlight that with my special needs children. So I have three boys. One will be 4 next month, 8 and 11. And they have ADHD, sensory integration disorder, anxiety disorder not otherwise specified, and a host of things that put at least one, if not two of them, on the Asperger spectrum. And I have had to accept who they are and what it's going to take to parent them, and that I don't have the adorable little child who you can take to dinner in a fancy restaurant and they'll color on the little coloring books and stay quiet and eat whatever food they're served. And that's not my life. But that's okay, you know. They are these beautiful human beings who are doing the best they can. My oldest has anger issues, and specifically at me, I am his biggest target for that. Because I'm the safe person that he can let it out on. You know, he holds it in as best he can, and then lets it out on me. And that's hard, and it's hard not to lash back out at him. And I certainly have my own anger issues, which is probably why I'm delving into exercise as much as I am these days, to try and get that out. So I pray to accept him on a regular basis. I love the Region 7 journals that we have, and I like to do the 10th step, and that helps keep my character assets and defects identified and top of mind. Was I irritable, restless, or discontent? That's one of the questions in the 10th step, and I'm almost always yes, and I just have to list out. How was I irritable, restless, or discontent? And oftentimes it's with my children. They did this, they did that, they didn't listen to me. They told my husband last night that they did their homework, but when I checked this morning, no, their homework wasn't done. And lo and behold, we have 5 minutes to get to school, and there's no way that homework's gonna get done. And so there's acceptance. There's acceptance that my husband did the best he could with the tools that he had. And my children, are just doing exactly what I did as a kid, you know, to be honest. and you know, that's what they do. And so it's, how can I be useful to them? I pray, when I do my prayer or meditation, it's either in the shower or when I'm exercising, because that's when I'm alone. And usually I'm alone in the shower. Sometimes I have company. Could be the four-legged variety as well. We have a dog. That's when I do my prayers. And I say the Serenity Prayer. I say the Third Step Prayer. I then say two prayers from my faith. And then I say, God, grant me the willingness to do what I need to do today to be abstinent. And that is not me telling God what I need to do today to be abstinent. It's asking for the willingness for him to show me. Because I'm not going to tell him what it is. He knows better than I do. So then I say, I pray for character assets that I need to use. So acceptance, willingness, love, patience, tolerance, humility. I'll pray for those to counteract my defects. And then I say, God, please help me to see, accept, and do your will, especially in regards to, and I just list off the things that I need help with. And it's my marriage, it's my parenting of my children, it's issues at work, it's the ladies on the swim team, that run the swim team, that don't want my children there. And you know, I list off what those things are I need help with. And I try to use that 10th step in the Region 7 journal, which is really helpful, and pray for the people that are challenging to me. My favorite other prayer that I use whenever encountering challenging people is the 4th step prayer. God, this is a sick person. How can I be useful to him or her. Save me from being angry. Thy will be done. And I've used that with bosses. I've used it with my husband. I've used it with the swim team people a lot. people, because what I've learned is there are sick people out there. And just because I am wronged does not mean I need to return the favor. I am responsible for my own happiness, and I am responsible to keep my side of the street clean. I pay my own way. I'm not going to go out there and just mooch off of people. I don't have to be right. That's a big one. I don't have to be right. That plays in a lot of places, especially in my marriage. How can I empower and acknowledge my husband and say, you know what? You're right on that one. I'm sorry. And make an amends. I don't have to win the argument. I can just let the other person say their piece. I've learned to be a wing woman at work. So this also goes hand in hand with not needing to be right. How can I be helpful to her? How can I be of service to another person in the workplace? Instead of having to be the shining star, how can I support the person next to me? The person that really pisses me off. And I'm trying to be a wing. There's one at work. I really can't stand her. And I don't like the way she treats the people that work for her. I don't like the way she's treated me and my staff. How can I be useful to her? Especially in my relationship with my husband, where he has his own self-esteem issues over I'm the breadwinner and he's not, how can I empower him? How can I be useful to him? Not patronizing, but empowering. How can I help him with that without trying to fix him? Because I've tried every way to fix the man. Every way imaginable, I've tried, and it doesn't work. So acceptance works a lot there. Love, service, courage, humility, patience. my sponsor jokes with me that I have the patience of Job, but yet I still have need for more. And I find that that's the one character asset I just can't have enough of, is patience and tolerance. And I try to look at relationships in general as how can I be of service to my higher power, to the person at work who annoys me, to my children, to my children's teachers, the saints that they are. And that's how I try to look at it. Instead of what can I get out of this, it's how can I be of service. And one of the passages that I have found so helpful and has been, you know, saved my behind when I was really in a bad place at work. I had a boss from hell, essentially. And I would keep a copy of the Big Book in my drawer at work, and dog-eared, underlined, whatever. At page 417 in this version of Alcoholics Anonymous, and acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life, unacceptable to me. And I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. And there are other gems, and I could read this for hours, and we would all nod our heads. But yes, that particularly is helpful to me. The magic magnifying mind, I think, is one of the sections in here. If I focus on the problem, the problem increases. If I focus on the solution increases. The solution almost always is change me. And my response to whatever's going on, because that's the only thing I can do. And the other thing, it's on page 420. I do whatever is in front of me to be done, and I leave the results up to him. However it turns out, that's God's will for me. And that has rung true for me over and over again. I have a very busy life. I'm moving nonstop from 5:30 in the morning to whenever I pass out at night, hopefully 9:30-ish, so I can get a good night's sleep. But it gets overwhelming to think about all the things that I have to do. I just have to put one foot in front of the other and do the next right thing. And I ask for God's help to show me what is that next right thing. What is that next right thing in my marriage? My marriage is in a really rocky place right now. It is really, I'm praying over it. I'm trying to accept and leave the results up to God. And, you know, my will is that our marriage goes on and that it flourishes and that we have this loving relationship. I don't know that that's God's will. I'm in that kind of place where I don't know, and I'm just trying to deal with that and get all the help I can. But I know that acceptance is the answer. Whatever God's will is, acceptance is the answer, not fighting it. And I'm somewhere in the literature, there's a topic about boxing and surfing. You know, before program, it's boxing, and after, it's surfing. And that's how my life has been a bit, and I hope that I am surfing through this relationship rather than boxing.